Well, please keep the Bibles open in Romans chapter 12, page 1139. And we need to pray. I'm sure you need God's help to hear God's word, and I'm very sure I need God's help to teach it. So let's pray for God's help. Our Father, we thank you that we can be together this evening. We thank you that as we meet together, we do so as your people. And we thank you that you are present with us. We praise you that you are a God who calls people to know him. And we pray that you'd help us to know more of you tonight as we look at these words of Scripture. Give us understanding, we pray, and help us to be shaped and transformed by what we study tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is very easy to overestimate ourselves. We tend to have a too high a view of what we are capable of. We're not very good at admitting our limitations, and very easily we overestimate our own abilities. And so we find ourselves saying or thinking, yes, of course I can get through this jumbo platter for two on my own. Of course I can run those errands in town, make my gym class, have coffee with friends, and still be ready to pick my kids up at lunchtime. Of course I'll be able to kind of land from my trip at 2 a.m. and still be at work bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 9 o'clock in the morning. We very easily overestimate ourselves. But as well as being something that is easily done, Paul wants us to see tonight that it is something that is dangerous to do. And perhaps nowhere more easy and more dangerous than it when it comes to our own view of our Christian life. If you were here last week, we've just begun a series in Romans 12 to 16, and it really is a series that takes us through different areas of the Christian life, what it means to live as a Christian. And we saw last week that everything is in the context of God's mercy to us. Paul said in verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves." All that we are as Christians is because of God's mercy. All that we seek to do is in response to God's mercy. Everything flows from that foundation. And Paul showed us in verse 2 that our minds need to be reprogrammed in the light of God's mercy. And it's interesting that having set out that kind of foundation of the Christian life, the very first thing Paul takes us to is how we think of ourselves. So verse 3, Paul says, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." It's interesting that of every area of the Christian life, that is the one Paul starts with. Interesting too that Paul's assumption is that we will think more highly of ourselves than we ought. There is a way of thinking about ourselves that we should be engaged with, and Paul is concerned that we think of ourselves wrongly, that we think more highly than we should. Now, there may well be a number of us here tonight, I'm sure there will be quite a number of us here tonight, who would have a low self-esteem. And maybe reading a verse like verse 3, we tend to think, well, actually, I'm in nowhere near, am I in danger of doing that? But actually, as we will see, a low self-esteem can be just as much a reflection of the same problem that Paul is talking about. So wherever we sort of see ourselves on this spectrum, all of us actually need to heed what Paul says tonight. How should we think of ourselves? Well, Paul shows us some ways. Firstly, we need to see ourselves, to think of ourselves as defined by grace. Verse 3. Paul sets us up by saying these words at the beginning of verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you." What Paul is about to tell us, he is saying by grace. Paul is an apostle. He's been given the authority of Jesus Christ to bring the words of Jesus to Jesus' people. And Paul says, "I'm an apostle by the grace given me." What he says by grace. Paul's not... sort of passed a load of apostle exams. Before Paul became a Christian, he went around trying to get Christians killed. He's not sort of, wouldn't have been obvious Christian leader potential. Paul says, it is by grace I say what I'm about to say. And because Paul is an apostle, what he's saying is not a suggestion. It's not a kind of personal concern of his. It is the word of Jesus, and therefore Paul says, I say to every one of you. This is a really important message for each one of us tonight. Paul is about to say to us in verse 3, one of those things that you really want to lean forwards and make sure you are definitely listening to. If the person next to you is kind of looking out of the window or asleep or is kind of confused because their Bible's open in Ezekiel, this is the time to give them a nudge, because Paul says, God has brought you here tonight to hear this very point. You need to think of yourself in sober judgment. It is way too easy to overestimate yourself. And so negatively, Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Positively, think of yourself with sober judgment. That will not be your natural tendency. Paul has already shown us that we are born with a mindset that thinks the wrong way. All of us were born with a mindset that thinks, actually, I can do a better job of running my life than God can. And so Paul says, actually, we really need to work hard at this. We need to think of ourselves with sober judgment. We need to look at ourselves in the cold light of day. Now, I think it's after GCSEs you do work experience, isn't it? And I got to do work experience at a TV studio in London, which is quite good fun. I got to sort of sit around and watch TV shows being filmed and that kind of thing. And I was told there that one of the problems they were having at the time was that they had just sort of got in new TV cameras, the latest kind of technology of the day. And the problem with these new cameras were that they showed everything much clearer than had been shown before. Which is a good thing, but the TV presenters were unhappy with it because it meant all the blemishes, all the imperfections, all the sort of spots and pox on their faces were now far more clear to the viewers. And they didn't like it. And Paul is saying, we need to see ourselves realistically. We need to see ourselves really clearly. We need to think about ourselves in the right way. Paul's already shown us that our minds need to be renewed. And now he shows us that a renewed mind will be a humble mind. And the key to the humble mind comes at the end of verse 3. Paul says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Paul says the way to think about ourselves in the right way is to make sure we measure ourselves against the right thing. And that is, we need to measure ourselves against what the gospel says about us. All of us measure ourselves up against something. It might be what other people say. It might be we measure ourselves against what we've achieved. We look at our CV and that is defining for us. We may kind of think of ourselves in relation to whether we have relationships or not, or how much money we have or don't have. Those of us here who are parents, it might be that some of us measure ourselves against all those things for our children. But Paul says the thing we should measure ourselves against is none of those things, but what the gospel says about us. That is the true measure. That is the true yardstick. And Paul refers to it in the language of the faith God has given you. The faith means the Christian faith that you now believe. The truths that we summarize and remind ourselves of when we say the creed. Paul says, look at yourself in the light of those truths, and that is the way to think of yourself with sober judgment. And as we do that, we see that none of us is worthless. Each of us has been created by God in his image and made to know God and reflect God to this world. And even though all of us have turned away from God, he has come in the person of his Son and died for us so that we can come back to him. None of us is worthless. But the gospel also shows us that none of us is worthy. None of us has done anything that would warrant God's love for us. None of us has anything that hasn't come as a generous gift of our God. And so as we measure ourselves against that yardstick, we see there is no place for boasting, and there's no place for despair. You see, that is why low esteem is part of the same problem as high esteem. In both cases, we're still measuring ourselves against the wrong thing. It is against the Christian faith, the gospel truths, that we measure ourselves. We don't deserve to be loved, and yet we are loved deeply. Deeply loved. So how should we think about ourselves? Well, we need to think of ourselves as being defined by grace. And Paul says if we do that, if we see ourselves in the light of the measure of the Christian faith, we won't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. So that's the first thing, defined by grace. The second point Paul makes in verses 4 and 5 is we must think of ourselves as belonging to church. We're not to think of ourselves too highly. And Paul says we're not to think of ourselves in isolation. So he says in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. So Paul compares the church to the human body. And he gives us a bit of a biology lesson. I saw my parents recently, and they're going through this sort of stage whereby they're saying on one hand that their home is always going to be my home. I don't even need to invite myself around. I can just turn up whenever I like. It's always going to be my room. It's always there for me. And at the same time, seem to be trying to remove any trace of evidence that I ever lived in the house. And so every time they come up and tell me how much it is my room, they have another few bags of things, of my stuff that they don't want anymore. And the latest consignment actually included my old school reports, which had been sort of squirreled away in the attic for the last few years. And it was humbling reading. The phrase that stood out the most was tends towards the chaotic. This was written by my biology teacher. So biology wasn't a strength of mine, and Paul gives us a bit of basic biology in these verses. So if you're like me at biology, listen in verse 4. Paul says, each of us has one body. Okay, that's the first lesson. Biology 101, you have a body. Okay, if you're not sure about that or don't think you do, come and have a word and we'll try to set you straight. The next part of the biology lesson is your body has different bits to it. I don't know if you knew that. It has different parts, different sort of areas, different members, as Paul calls it here. And those bits do different things. Okay, so the thing on top of your shoulders is your head. That does something different to your hands and your feet. And Paul says we need all those different things or our bodies won't work properly. And when we have all the different parts, we have one body that works as it should do. And Paul says that it is the same with the church and Christians. Paul says we are different Christians. We are many. And we are varied. You just have to look around to see that sort of variety God has given us. And yet Paul says, we who are many form one body. So all of us different Christians make up one church. But we're not just a collection of Christians. We are a body. We are an entity. We are a unit. And Paul says we need to see ourselves in the light of that. You are part of a body. Not too long ago, I tend to do this fairly often, I stubbed my toe lavishly, I think would be the best word to describe what happened. I was walking around in barefoot, I was pulling closed a door, had incorrectly gauged the position of my toe in relation to where the door would be passing, and managed to sort of shear off a generous amount of my big toenail as the door completed its journey closed. And the point is, although it was my toe that hurt, the rest of my body responded. One of my legs decided it would help if I hopped. I think my eyes may have watered a little bit. My mouth joined in solidarity by emitting a very loud and slightly feminine squeal as it all happened. And the point is, it wasn't just my toe that hurt. I hurt. Because my toe is part of a body. And Paul is wanting us to see ourselves as part of one body. We are not designed to live in isolation from other believers, but in fellowship with other believers. And so part of not thinking too highly of ourselves is we must see ourselves as belonging to a Christian body. And it's very easy for us to think at times, well, me plus Jesus equals church. And so on Sunday, if I'm feeling a bit dozy, don't really feel like going to St. Mary's, I can just crash out at home, I'll stick on a Matt Redman CD and download a sermon from the internet, and I'm sorted. I've got my church going. That's the Church of St. Me. And its location is my mattress. Well, Paul says that is not the way to think. If you think that way, you are actually thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, because you are part of a body. I heard somebody say recently that the man who attempts Christianity without the church shoots himself in the foot, shoots his children in the leg, and shoots his grandchildren in the heart. We need to see ourselves as being part of a body. And more than that, Paul says we need to see ourselves as belonging to that body. It's interesting, he says in verse 5, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we're not just connected to one another, but actually we are belonging to one another. We are obligated to one another. And so we mustn't think of St. Mary's as the church I come to, but the body I belong to. We mustn't think that sort of church is there for me. And if it doesn't measure up to all the things I want on a given week, then I just might not turn up the following Sunday. It better scratch where I itch. No, we are to see ourselves as existing for the church, for the body. And if we think this way, we will come to church to serve, not just to receive. And again, if we don't see ourselves as being part of the body, Paul says we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. If you see yourself as being above service to this group of people around you, you are thinking way too much of yourself. We belong to one another. Which means I take it that we need to come. We need to make coming a priority. We can't just be sort of casual and think, well, I'll just go when I feel like it. Some of us may think, well, if I'm there to serve the church, I'm not just going to come, I'm going to come early. Maybe a word we need to explain at some point, the word early at St. Mary's. But, you know, they might need some help. The one group of people I tell you who almost always come early are the newcomers. And so if you want to be someone who welcomes newcomers, come early. And I take it if we are here to serve one another, we need to get to know each other. We won't fulfill our role as a Christian if we come in and then zoom away at the end and never actually get to know one another. Again, if you feel yourself above getting to know your brothers and sisters here, you think too highly of yourself. So the second thing is belonging to church. And then as we finish, finally, we need to think of ourselves as equipped to serve. Some of us may be thinking, well, okay, I do see myself as belonging to the church family. But what do I do? What does it mean to belong to the others? How can I help? Well, Paul says that God hasn't just put us together in a body. He's equipped us to serve that body. And in verses 6 to 8, he gives us a few examples of some of the ways God has gifted different Christians to serve the body. There are a number of such lists in the New Testament. They all differ from one another. There's a bit of overlap as well. And I take it Paul is giving us a kind of representative list. He's giving us examples. It's not meant to be kind of exhaustive. And as we look at some of these gifts, we'll see that there will be a bit of overlap between them. We'll also see they're quite varied. Some might be what we think of as being a bit more supernatural, and others we might think is a bit more mundane. But Paul says all of them come from God. And the point is not, what is my particular gift? Paul's emphasis is, whatever your gift is, use it. Get on and use it. So if it's prophesying, verse 6, well, prophesy. Prophecy is a word the Bible uses in a range of ways, but it broadly means bringing God's word to his people. And in the New Testament, I think particularly bringing God's word home to people. That can often happen in a conversation. Someone says something to you that was just incredibly apt. It was actually exactly what you needed to hear. That sometimes happens in a sermon. You have one of those sermons where you think, have they been stalking me this week? Have they sort of been phone tapping me? Well, if that is your gift, Paul says, use it. Use it in proportion, verse 6, to your faith. And if you look at the footnote, I think it shows us what that means. It's got to be in agreement with the faith. It's got to actually fit in with what the Bible says. If your gift is serving, serve. Now, with a lot of these gifts, they're actually describing things that all of us are meant to do. All of us are meant to serve. But there will be some who are particularly meant to serve in a certain way. They may have a particular way in which they serve the running of God's people. Think of those who organise meals for the sick, or those who help the sort of admin of church, or those who welcome us and give us a service sheet when we enter the building. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, that is helping people to live out the gospel, then do that. Be praying for others. Be chasing them up and asking them how it's going. If your gift is contributing, and again, all of us are to give, but there will be some who God has particularly gifted to contribute to others. One of the ways in which you might know that is that you have a lot of money to give. And for some people, that actually is their main way of serving God's people, is by giving generously of their wealth. If it is leading, then lead. If it is showing mercy, if it is helping those in need and in distress, then do it cheerfully. But you see, Paul's point is, whatever your gift is, use it. God has placed you in a body of believers, and you belong to them, so do something. Be of service. And you might think, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, the way to find out is to commit yourself to the good of your church family. Look for ways to build up others, to be of service to others, and I guarantee you will soon find ways God has gifted you to do that. But for those of us who do have a sort of sense of what our gifts might be, Paul's point is, use them. You see, the world says, fulfill your potential. Be all that you can be. But I think Paul would have us say, fulfill your vocation. Don't be everything you could possibly be. Do what you are meant to do. And do it well. We won't be begrudging. end of verse 8, if he was to show mercy, you'd do it cheerfully. We won't be sloppy. If we're doing this for service of others, we will do it carefully and diligently. But we need to think of ourselves as equipped to serve others. And if we don't think of ourselves in those ways, Paul says again, we are thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. So, it is too easy to overestimate ourselves, and it is too dangerous for Paul to let us neglect thinking about this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment. And so as you pray for God to renew your mind, as you seek to not be conforming to the pattern of this world, keep telling yourself, I am defined by grace. All that I am is by God's goodness. I belong to church. I don't belong to myself. But God has put me into a body of believers, and he has equipped me to serve others. Well, let's pray for God's help to do that. Our Father, please help us to be very conscious of the ways in which we, each one of us, are tempted to think too highly of ourselves. We pray that as you renew us, as you work in us, that you would humble us and help us to think of ourselves in sober judgment. Father, please help us to think of ourselves consciously as those who are defined by grace. Help us to see ourselves in the light of what the gospel says about us. Help us to remember that we belong to the body of the church, and that you long for us to be of service to that body. We thank you for the gifts you give your people, and for the ways in which you've gifted each one of us to play our part. Give us wisdom if we're still trying to think through what that might be. But above all, we pray that you would so move our hearts that our great longing is to build up the body. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.